Hope always deceives us when it becomes a substitute for action. And this week's opening quote comes from Marty Rubin. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Hope is really not what we need in this current situation, folks. What we need is action. What we need is a plan to shift human consciousness forward. And being as how attention is the most valuable resource on Earth, what we need is a way of making the truth fashionable and trendy. Someone needs to develop a truth app or a truth game, something that's going to reach the children, something that's going to reach the kids, and not just the kids, but reach everybody who's locked into this virtual world. Everybody who's trapped on their iPhone, and make it fun to look at information that actually helps them rather than information that enslaves them. But whatever it is that we do, we need to be proactive in doing it. There's no good sitting around and hoping for change to come. Hope really is a deceiver, folks, because very often we will sit and hope, and really what we should be doing is acting. And this is a lot of what I've seen since President Trump came to power. It's a lot of what I've seen since the QAnon information has come out. And hasn't that gone crazy? I mean, there's QAnon memes all over the internet. You can buy QAnon t-shirts, I'm with Q, all sorts of stuff, folks. It's been highly commercialized and highly funded, and that should be a sign for everybody. But we see this sort of thing happen all the time. All these things that are put there, all these carrots that are dangled in front of us, always something imminent, always something that's about to save us, always something that's right over the horizon. We don't have to do anything. Just sit back and wait. It's all about to change time after time after time. I've seen it so many times. Hope for change. I mean, that's all it is, folks, and that's all I've seen with Trump, and that's a lot of what I've seen with this whole QAnon scenario. It's a lot of what I've seen with the Disclosure Project, a lot of what I've seen with the expose that George Webb was doing on the internet. I've seen a lot of people hoping for change rather than actually getting involved and acting themselves on the ground to create that change. And while people are sitting there hoping that something is going to happen, the wheels of the control system steadily roll forward. Which reminds me of another quote by Brent Weeks, who said that hope is the piper who leads us sleepy to our slaughter. And admittedly, the QAnon phenomenon is reaching a lot of people. A lot of people are becoming aware of the fact that there is a deep state and the fact that there is this rampant ring of pedophiles that's running the world. And a lot of stuff has been brought to mainstream ears and brought to the ears of people who wouldn't normally look into conspiracy stuff. But the way it's been presented, it's just this thing that's imminent that's about to happen. And it's always the same. It's always something that's about to happen. And then people sit back and they wait and they hope for change. But hope just never cuts it, folks. You can sit there and hope for your bed to be made all you want, and it's not going to make itself. You can sit there and hope for that garden to be planted and hope for that food to grow, and it's not going to improve the situation. We need to be involved proactively in our communities to bring these changes about ourselves. With any luck, people are beginning to see that now. With any luck, the fallout from the Florida shooting is showing people that the hope they had placed in Donald Trump was misplaced. Trump's statement that they need to basically take the guns and then worry about due process later should be an indication to everybody that this man simply does not have their best interests at heart. I mean, he's been in office for a year now, folks, and he's done nothing to bring about any positive changes. No matter what you may think he's done nothing, ladies and gentlemen. He's really done nothing at all to bring about anything positive or bring about any truth or expose the actual system, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, in any way. He hasn't been the people's friend at all. I mean, look at it, folks. Look at the things he could have done. I mean, he could have called out Israel for what it's done rather than supporting it the way he's doing. He could have completely stopped the war of terror. I mean, you can't tell me he doesn't know 9/11 wasn't a staged event. You can't tell me he doesn't know what's actually going on. And you can't tell me he's playing 4D chess to bring about these wonderful changes that are all going to save everybody. It just has to be done in this way. No, folks, he's a player. Trump is part of the state, and the state is not your friend. It's as simple as that. And with any luck, this recent stance that he's shown on gun control and the flagrant disregard he has for US constitutional rights and the Second Amendment should cause people to perhaps wake up to themselves a little bit and begin to realize that no one is coming to save them if they are not prepared to save themselves. And of course, a lot of the problem in this is that people can't even see what it is that the threat is. They can't see what they need to save themselves from. They think it's simply government corruption. That's what all this theater is about, all this 4D chess that Trump is apparently playing, all the sealed indictments and all of this rubbish. They think it will actually make a difference when the problem is the smart grid. The problem is 5G. The problem is all of these microwave towers that are being put up in every single country on Earth, irrespective of whether they are taking on the role as the good guy or the bad guy. It doesn't matter because it's all theater for the masses anyway, because it is the smart grid, the Internet of Things, the IoT, the cashless control grid, and the social crediting system that is happening underneath everything else that people simply aren't noticing. And that's why all this theater is being ramped up so much. That's why we're seeing such a circus and sideshow with the Trump presidency. And it is. It's like watching an episode of The Simpsons live in the White House. And all this stuff and all this posturing and all of this pacing around and theatrics and media propaganda. And folks, what's happening on the ground? What has changed in your community since Trump took office? Nothing. Nothing's changed. Is your life easier now that Trump is the president? All you pro-Trump supporters out there, has things really changed for the better for you? Or is it just imminent? You're waiting on the edge because it's all about to happen, like it's always about to happen. The way it was about to happen with George W. Bush, the way it was about to happen with Obama. Remember, that was change that we all needed? It's always the same story, folks. It's the new face on the same coin, and the agenda goes steadily forward, marching towards the same direction that it's always been marching, and nothing ever changes. And it's the same with the Trump presidency. It's the same with the political theater in all of our countries. Look what Justin Trudeau is doing to Canada. What an absolute imbecile that man is. Look what Malcolm Turnbull is doing to Australia, the unelected Prime Minister of Australia, making mass profits out of mass vaccinating his population. The whole system's corrupt, folks. And look in Russia and Iran and China, and what do you see? You see 5G and the smart grid and the Internet of Things and the same thing rolling out in all these countries. It's the same thing, folks. The whole thing is theater. And the people keep sitting on the sidelines hoping for change and not looking at the bigger picture of what the New World Order really is and what the real threat that they're facing is. And so therefore they find it very difficult to know what to do to combat this threat, because they're simply not seeing it. They don't see the conveniences they hold in their hand as being any significant problem in their lives, but they are. And not only in our lives, folks, but in the lives of our children as well. I mean, the damage that these iPads and cell phones and all of these high-tech devices are doing to children is phenomenal. It's really messing up children's intellectual capability, really messing up their cognitive function. People are using smartphones and iPads as pacifiers now for children, and this is not the way to bring up a child. Not only is it just being neglectful as a parent and not dealing with the root core of the problem and finding the easy way out, but it's locking your child into this tech world and giving your child a dopamine addiction at a very, very early age, and it is doing damage, a massive amount of damage to the psyche of young kids that are growing up into this high-tech system. And you'll find that you've got kids' playsets now, like plastic playsets you can get for two-year-olds that have got a recess in there where you can put an iPad for the child to play with. This is bad stuff, folks. This should not be a device that is given to a two-year-old child. I mean, not just alone for dopamine addiction and all the things that go with it, but the amount of radiation that comes out of these things is just not good for a child. It's not good for a child to have that sort of a thing so close to its face at such a young age. People just have to start getting involved in their children's lives again, getting involved in the upbringing of their children, behaving like proper parents, even though they don't have a reference point because most of them weren't raised by people who had any parenting skills to begin with. You know, I think a lot of people are seeing it, and if they apply themselves to the situation, they'll soon see what proper parenting is. Now, really, it's just loving your child and being there for your child. not replacing your child's parents with technology, which is what many people have done. Of course, many people are forced to do this because they are so busy running on the treadmill just to get the bread and butter they need to put a roof over their child's head. So it's a vicious circle, but we really do need people to start getting involved in their children again. And paying attention to the education system, people have to start participating in what schools are teaching their children and questioning what schools are teaching their children. And schools also have to start doing this. I mean, teachers have to start getting involved, questioning the principal. And if the principal's going to say, well, we're getting our orders from on high and you're going to be sacked if you don't do what you're told, well, that principal needs to be reported. People need to then start paying attention to what the government is doing to their children's education system. You know, I'll say that and people will say, well, if the school principal's just doing the wrong thing like that and you say report it, well, who am I going to report it to? Well, report it to the other parents. That's the thing. So the parents start to understand what is actually being done to their children. There's no good reporting it to the government because the government is the source of the problem. Because ultimately that's where it all comes from. You know, the children have been brutalized the way they have because of legislation that's been put in place by government, which has allowed this situation to happen. And not only allowed it, but created the type of environment where it's bound to happen. You know, it's all been done deliberately. The human race has been led to exactly where they are. And now they're being led into this smart grid. It's really time for the parents to put things down, put their tools down and turn and face this system and call it out for what it is. It's really time for people to get involved. You know, this smart system that is rolling out is going to be the total lockdown for all of us if we do not pay attention and we allow it to simply roll out unimpeded by any voice from us. The problem is people are just too cowed. They're too scared to speak out because they have this misplaced belief in authority. And I think that if they say anything, they'll just get knocked on the head and disappear. But it's really not like that. I mean, I've been screaming from the rooftops for 10 years on this radio show, folks, and I haven't been knocked on the head yet. So you can do it too. You can get involved in your own community and start talking to your neighbors and start addressing some of these problems. And if we do start addressing them and start putting a little bit of energy into that, then I think we will find some healing for the situation. But I really think it's time for people to just down tools. I'd like to see massive strikes right around the world. Everyone just stop what they're doing and say, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We can see what you're doing with this smart grid. We can see what this whole 5G system is, and we're not going to put up with it. I mean, it's a damaging system, even by their own studies, and we know they're not waiting for the standards, but by all the studies that have been done, it's just a very damaging system, and not something that we should be allowing government to put in place under the erroneous claim that they are doing so for our benefit. I mean, the mere fact that it uses a millimeter wave, which is extremely damaging radiation-wise to human beings and to all life, not only that fact, but also the fact that underneath it, underlying the entire thing, is the fact that 5G can be used for an active denial system, i.e. microwave cannons, which means they can lock down any area, they can turn any area they want into a no-go zone. This is not good. And the mere concept of allowing a government as corrupt as the governments that we have now to be putting this sort of system in place is ridiculous. There's no way we should be letting this criminal class put this type of system in place because it is so open to the possibility of abuse. And when we look at the fact that the world is run by criminals, well, what do you think they're going to do with it, folks? They've abused every other power they've ever had. They've given themselves powers they've no right to have by abusing the offices that they hold. So what do you think they're going to do with this 5G grid? Do you think they're really putting it in place for our benefit? Of course they're not. And there's so many other aspects of it that you can look at as well, folks. It isn't just the radiation and all the danger that comes from 5G. There's the very real possibility of mind control and all sorts of stuff they can do with it. Controlling the moods of the population, putting thoughts into the minds of the population. All of this stuff is possible with 5G technology. You know, you're an electromagnetic being. Everything you experience is electromagnetism. And these electromagnetic points within your body can be intercepted and they can put voices in your head. They can put visions in people's head. I mean, they've done this in the Iraq War when they put the voice of God in the head of all of those Iraqi soldiers who then threw down their weapons and marched to the front only to be firebombed by the United States. They've done it at shops in Japan where people actually complained to the store that they didn't like the store putting voices in their heads telling them to go in and buy stuff as they were walking past the shop. So don't think they can't do this sort of thing with this technology, because the possibilities are there. And that's just the stuff we know about. And when I say we know about it, yes, we do know about it, because we can confirm it all via patents that they've actually lodged at the patent office. You can go and look up DARPA patents for all this sort of stuff, and you can find out that they've been experimenting with mind control technology through electromagnetism for years. And when you look at all of these patents and you look at where the technology is going, indeed look at what the technology is already doing, and then look at where they're taking it, well, it becomes very obvious what they're up to. Even more confirmed by the fact that they've patented all this stuff way back in the beginning anyway, so of course they wouldn't have patented it if they didn't want to do stuff with it, folks. And the question is, what's it going to take for people to stand up? I mean, you can't wait until the prison's built around you and then complain that you're living in a prison. You need to stop them building it before the walls are complete, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned earlier, or perhaps last week, sometime recently, I said, you know, people are in fear of the system. They don't want to see the system come online, but at the same time, they're in fear of standing up against the system. Well, what's it going to be? Either you do something about it now, or you don't complain when it comes online, because when it does come online, you're not going to have any means of complaining, you're not going to have any means of holding anybody liable, because it'll all be an algorithm, it'll all be run by AI. And it's up to us to stop that happening. It's up to the people to acknowledge what is happening and to take steps to stop it. Take steps to address it. And simply by asking questions, you know, make your voices heard. Talk to the politicians and say, hey, we're not going to accept this. And again, when you're looking at Trump and all of these theatrics that's going on in the White House at the moment, all the theatrics that's going on in all of our governments at the moment, ask yourself, how many of them are addressing this issue? Nobody's even talking about it. No one's mentioning it. No one's talking about it. No one's even suggesting that there may be a problem. No one's talking about the cashless control grid. No one's talking about social crediting. No one's talking about this in anything but a positive light. The Internet of Things, 5G, how wonderful it's all going to be for us, but it's not. It's the control grid. And that is why we're seeing so much theatre in every other aspect you can think of to keep us distracted from what is happening right beneath our feet. So pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. Pay attention and get involved, because you can stop this if you choose to participate. It's really as simple as that. Just your basic participation. Go and join the In Power movement. Start sending out these affidavits. Start questioning authorities. Start alerting your neighbours to what's happening and telling these politicians and these power companies that you're going to hold them liable for damages, and things will begin to change. But you have to get involved on the ground yourself in order to make this happen. And all this may sound a little demanding of me as well. It may sound like I'm just putting the blame and the need to act in all of this on you people, but I don't mean it to come across that way at all. And if you can't actually get involved and do something and send out affidavits and things like that, if you simply can't do it, well, there's other ways you can make a difference anyway by simply not complying with the smart grid. Don't buy all these smart devices. Don't get a smart meter installed on your home. And if it's mandatory, well, you're going to have to go down the path of these affidavits, because it's the only way out. Because mandatory doesn't mean mandatory. It doesn't mean they actually have to do it, folks. It's just rubbish they write on paper. And the problem is they get away with it because you never hold them liable for the damages that they're causing, because we never identify the damages that politicians cause as actually causing harm, which is what it is. And this is something that I've gone through on previous shows. Now, you can identify the harm that politicians cause. You can lodge affidavits identifying that harm, and you can file claims against these people. And why do I say this? Why do I say this all the time, and why do I rant about it so much? Well, really, it's not ranting, folks. You know, very often people mistake passion for ranting. You know, I just feel very passionate about what I say, and sometimes I express that passion, and it may come across as a rant, but it really isn't. You know, it's just wanting to get this message out, and sometimes feeling the frustration that people aren't doing something about it. You know, people just listen to the show, but they don't actually get involved and they don't act in their community, and it does get frustrating for me sometimes to see that. But having said all that, again, why do I do it? Why do I even bother? Why don't I just go home and enjoy life? Why do I even bother coming and doing these shows? Well, what else am I going to do, ladies and gentlemen? You know, and a lot of the stuff that I say about filing affidavits and lodging claims and all this sort of stuff, it's because people write to me and they say, well, what's something that I can do? So, okay, here's something you can do. But often I tell people this and then they don't bother doing it anyway. But the thing is, you know, what else am I going to do? If I know this information, I feel I have an obligation to share it. And even doing that makes a difference. If you just have conversations over the kitchen table with your neighbors, it makes a difference. Having conversations in the hotel, it makes a difference. Just talking about this stuff with people makes a difference. Even if they shout you down, there's still other people that will listen. And very often, even if they do shout you down, they'll see something on the television or something in the newspaper later that will cause a little penny to drop, and they'll remember the conversation they had with you, and they'll come back and look you up and say, hey, what you were talking about, I just saw something. So, you know, everything makes a difference, folks. And, you know, and I come on and I do these shows just in an attempt to empower people, an attempt to provide you with conversation points that you can have in the pub. You know, you can go and repeat some of the stuff I say, see what sort of a conversation it stirs up. And I know a lot of people that do that sort of thing. But I don't expect everybody to just get out there and start marching in the street and start filing affidavits and everybody to get on board and start doing this. I just want people to realize their own power and realize the potential that they have if they were to stand up. You know, and so often I've talked about the need to unite as a community, you know, and this is simply because you need the support of these people if you do stand up. You know, if someone comes around and put a smart meter on your home and you say, no, you're not going to do it, and then they decide to get violent with you, well, wouldn't it help if you had your entire street come out and say, hey, you can't do that because we're all watching and we're going to push back if you start pushing him? Because if you're going to push him, then you're going to push us and we won't be pushed. You know, that's all you need. That's all the unity you need in your community. It's just getting to know people so that you've got this support. And it doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what their belief system is. It doesn't matter what political party they vote for. It doesn't matter what team they support. You know, all of these things are just tools used to divide us. You know, if someone votes a different way to you, there's no reason for you to hate that person. They just believe something different to you. That's okay. That's what makes up the world, a whole bunch of people who believe different things and have different ideas of what life should be. That's okay for people to think differently. It doesn't mean you should hate these people or see them as your rivals or see them as someone who's on the other team and someone you need to get the upper hand of. It doesn't work that way. All of these things are social constructs, and all of these things are what are used to divide us. And that's why I do what I do, because I just think people need to see these things. And like I said, what else am I going to do? Now, you know all this information. What are you going to do? Just keep it to yourself? Just go and live in the forest and think that the world's going to heal itself by itself if I don't participate? I can't do that. I have to share what I know, because I feel that by sharing what I know, I will make a difference in somebody's life anyway. And I get enough emails from people who say, hey, you've really helped me. You've changed my life. I think differently now, and things aren't so bad now. I mean, I get a lot of these emails, and I do feel like I'm making a difference, and I do feel like everybody out there who takes this message on and spreads it in their own community is also making a difference. And the results are there for everybody to see. So don't ever think that you're just a little person who can't make a difference, because ultimately everybody who gets involved is. It's just that first step of actually getting involved in whatever form that takes. It doesn't have to be full-blown frontline activism. It's just getting involved, and really it's a spiritual battle, as I've so often said. It's overcoming that spiritual hurdle, because once you do overcome that spiritual hurdle, it makes you want to get involved in the community, because you see the power you have, you see the worth of yourself, and it helps to show you the worth of other people, and that makes a big difference. And something else that it does, which makes a huge difference, is it devalues the politicians in as much as it removes them from their pedestal. It normalizes them. You know, once you can see the value of yourself and you realize what it means to be a human being, truly what it means to be a human being, then you begin to see authority as the misshapen superstition that it is. Because nobody has authority over you. People can't just tell you what to do and expect you to sit back and allow the world to be destroyed, yet they do it because we believe in authority, because we don't see the value in ourselves, and we place far too much value on other people, on politicians, on celebrities, on people that we think are more important than we are, because we've been trained to think that way by the television. Generally, that's what's happened. You know, we worship celebrities the way we do because we see them on television, but what does it mean? So what if they're on television? So they're pretending to be someone else in a movie which is distracting us from our lives. Why are we so adoring of these people for doing this? For having the ability to pretend that they're not themselves and they're somebody else. So we don't even really know these people that we're worshipping. All these celebrities that you worship, you've never seen the real person. All you've seen is the roles they've been playing in movies. You may have liked those roles, and so you think that's what sort of a person they are. But they're not. They're an actor, pretending to be somebody else. It's a really weird thing why we adore these people and why we view them as something to emulate or something to be like when we don't even know what sort of people they are. And really, if you get behind closed doors and look at their private lives, usually they're not very nice people at all. You know, the amount of pedophilia and the amount of racketeering and the amount of incredibly bad stuff that we see happening behind the scenes in Hollywood. I mean, really, folks, are these the sort of people we really need to be emulating? And it's the same with politicians. We view them as being these all-powerful things, these demigods, but they're not. They're just people, the same as us. It's just that the system has been constructed in such a way that we don't view ourselves as having any value, and we give our power away to other people so readily and so willingly because we think all the value lies there. We trust our leaders to look after us and to lead our country to safety and to keep us warm and secure, but they don't. They just milk us of all this wealth and milk us of everything they can, keep us running on the treadmill and tell us that it's our fault and we've got to tighten our belts and we've got to get behind things and make the economy stronger and it's all about the economy and once the economy's fixed, we're all going to be okay. But the economy is based on permanent debt on a fiat money system that is based on a loan from a private bank which is designed to keep the government in scarcity to begin with. So how can we ever hope to improve things by improving the economy? Because the economy will never be improved until it has extracted all the wealth of the country and then it will simply collapse. And then the politicians will look for another country to go and destroy because they need to balance the books. That's the way they think. The economy isn't there to help us. The economy is there to steal from us, to steal everything it means to be human from us and to keep us subservient to this economic model which has no bearing on life at all. The economy is the problem, and it's our willingness to give our power away to these politicians and their continual focus on managing the books that causes all of these issues to begin with. And it's all one big distraction, folks. The economy isn't going to save you. Screw the economy. We don't even need an economy. What we need is life. What we need is people. What we need is a bit of sanity and a bit of freedom. That would certainly go a long way to healing the situation anyway. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You know, when you really look at this whole situation and you look at how out of control things have got, you look at how out of control our governments have got, and you look at what the way out of this mess really is, what you see is that this is a time of human responsibility. It really is. It's a time for people to become responsible for themselves. You know, the old saying that with great power comes great responsibility. And the human race certainly has great power at the moment. We have great power at our fingertips. We have huge power, huge potential. We've got so much technology. We can do just about anything we want to do. The only thing that constrains us from doing anything that we want to do is other people, i.e. governments. They control our actions in every shape and every form that they can. And they prevent us from ever expressing our true creative potential. And because of the technology that we've got and because of the rules these people have put in place, we've given our power and our responsibility away. Now, we don't consider ourselves to be responsible for anything we do anymore. If anything does happen and go wrong in our lives, then we've usually got some sort of an insurance policy to cover that. And what is an insurance policy? An insurance policy is something to take responsibility for your actions for you so that you don't have to be responsible for your actions. I personally don't have any insurance policies. I don't have any insurance policies for anything. I have compulsory third-party insurance on my car because I'm required to. It goes with the registration and you can't not pay it. But that's the only insurance that I have. I've never insured anything in my life. I've never insured myself. I've never insured my actions. I take full responsibility for my actions in everything that I do. But even the concept of insurance, this kind of leads you into that I'm not responsible attitude, and it allows you to be led into the nanny state that we've got today. And that's really the problem. Even when people look at the state of the world, they'll say, well, it's terrible, it's disgraceful, and someone should fix it. And then they'll look at governments and think governments are the one who should fix it. But really, governments are the one who created the problem to begin with. They're not the ones who should fix it. What needs to happen is we need to start developing some responsibility for ourselves and responsibility for this situation, and realize that it's because we've allowed government to take care of things for us to this point that has created this entire scenario and this entire situation. And it's a pretty ridiculous concept thinking that we can look towards these people and expect them to lead us to safety when they're the ones that have led us into this mess. And the reality is that they've done so by design. So we've got to start taking responsibility for ourselves, folks. And that's really what this is. It's a time of great power and a time of great responsibility. It's just establishing when humankind is prepared to actually step up to the plate and step into the role that they were born to have. And I think it is the role that we were born to have, folks. I really do. I think we were born in this time in order for the human race to wake up to itself. You know, I really do. I think there's a lot of people here that are aware of what's going on. I think there's a lot of souls that have been born on Earth at this time to help lead mankind to a different place. And perhaps people think like this in every time. Perhaps every time that we've had an existence is a time where people thought it was a time of great change and there was something special about this time. I don't know, maybe it happens all the time and we always think like this, but we are really on the cusp at the moment. Now, what they're calling the whole technological revolution, the whole Internet of Things, is the second industrial revolution. So it's an important time. It's going to be an incredibly disruptive time. It's already an incredibly disruptive time. You know, just the fact that we're casting aside so many old ways and we're moving into this new reality, this new digital world, it's a huge step for mankind. Whether it's a step forward or a step backwards is going to depend on whether we assume the responsibility that we should have. You know, we step into the role that we're supposed to have, or whether we're simply going to allow ourselves to be led by this criminal class which is currently ruling things and running things. You know, and you might think that I repeat myself so much about this, and I'm always going on about this, and I'm always referring to the criminal cacistocracy and blah, 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 and I'm talking about all these problems. Well, I could not do that. I could come on and I could talk about all sorts of spiritual concepts. I could talk about permaculture all day. I could talk about all sorts of cob housing and all sorts of wonderful things we can do and tell people all the things that they actually want to hear rather than the things they need to hear. But while I'm doing that, the problems are there, ladies and gentlemen. They're there. They exist. And if people don't start talking about them, they're not going to go away. And not only are they not going to go away, they're going to get more powerful, they're going to persist, and they're eventually going to take over every aspect of our lives. And I can see this, and it's been rolling out for the last 20, 30 years. I mean, it's been rolling out ever since I was a kid. I've been able to see this whole system coming online. And it's getting to the point now where it's really consolidating its power, so of course I'm going to speak about it. You know, and even the stuff that I'm saying and offering suggestions of what to do, it's like I said, because so many people write to me and they say, well, what can we do about all this? It's all very well to talk about it, but what can we do about it? Well, what we can do about it is talk about it. Talk about it to other people and help people become aware of what's going on, because once enough people do become aware of it, then there will be a wave of consciousness that expands across the community. There will be. Yeah, and all we need, like I said earlier, is for people to stand up together and support each other when they do stand up. You don't have to think the same as they do. You don't have to believe in the same things that people believe in. But just realize that we're all in this together. And there's a criminal gang that is running the world. And we're just being farmed by these people. You know, basic racketeering is what is going on here. And we're just not noticing it because we're too busy running on the treadmill. And this is the reason we're running on the treadmill so much and the reason they've ramped everything up so much lately and got both partners working and got the kids distracted with iPads and everyone's arguing about everything they can find to argue about so that no one will notice this whole smart grid coming online underneath everything. And like I said, Trump's been in office for a year. He's done nothing, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone's been sitting on the sidelines waiting for something big to happen, and look at what has happened in regards to the smart grid in the last 12 months. It's gone forward in leaps and bounds. The whole control grid, all these 5G towers being rolled out everywhere. Everyone's been distracted with this and with that and with cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and get-rich-quick schemes. And look at Bitcoin now. Bitcoin's plummeting at the moment. So all the people that invested money in that are sitting back and pulling their hair out because it's all fiction anyway, and it's all designed to take you on a roller coaster ride. I was thinking the other day, the people that have got a lot of money in Bitcoin, you know, that have got like 600 or 700 bitcoins there, and they've got like, you know, millions of dollars in bitcoin. When people that have got like $1,000 or $10,000 worth of bitcoin watch it fluctuate and go up and down a few thousand dollars, they get a little nervous about it. But when you've got like 600 or 700 bitcoins in there and you're talking millions of dollars and you're watching your account fluctuate by $7 or 8 million up and down overnight each day, these people must be tearing their hair out. They must be going through a huge roller coaster ride, a huge emotional journey while this is going on. And the interesting thing looking at it is that it's all fiction anyway, because none of the cash actually exists. It's just all digits on a screen. It doesn't really mean anything. You know, you've got all this money, but you don't really have it. It doesn't really exist. And so when it disappears, it doesn't really matter because it was never really there to begin with. But the roller coaster ride that goes along with it, the emotional journey that people go on, has been very, very interesting to watch. But really, it's just like playing a game. Let's say you invested $1,000 in Bitcoin, and that suddenly, over a period of months, turned into $20,000, and then it suddenly went back down, and now you've only got $5,000. Most people will look at that and go, oh my God, I'm now $15,000 down. But really, if you want to be logical about it, you're not. You're actually $4,000 up from where you started. But it's the roller coaster ride that goes along with it that is the journey that they want people on. Because a lot of people take it really seriously. They'll think that all that money, that $20,000 they got, was actually real, but it wasn't. It was just digits on a screen. It's just an emotional journey that they've been on. And it's like a game. It's like you invested $1,000 in playing the game, and the game was watching these numbers climb and then fall back down again, and then climb and then fall back down and do the things that numbers do. But ultimately, it's just a game. But all these sorts of things, all these mechanisms are hugely useful in keeping people distracted and keeping people on a roller coaster ride so they simply don't notice what else is going on around them and what's being rolled out beneath their feet, which again is the smart grid. And watching the cryptocurrencies rise and fall the way they do should be very educational for people anyway, because just imagine if it does all shift over to crypto, if it does all shift over to digital, well, how much are you going to have? What's the price of that digital currency going to be if you think you've got certain amount of money in your wallet? How much do you really have? Because how much is it going to be worth tomorrow? Is it going to be worth half as much or twice as much or a third as much or five times as much? Or what's it going to be? And it shows you how fictional the whole thing is. I mean, if it was actually something of value, then it would have value that would remain constant. But it doesn't do that. It's all over the place. So even if it's there, it's not there. And even if it is there, how much is there? You never know. It varies every day. So it should be very educational for people to really look at this and look at what they're getting into by putting their faith in all of this digital mechanism that is rolling out and putting their faith in cryptocurrencies to begin with. I mean, it's a nice idea, but it just exists in a virtual world. It's not tangible. It's not real. You can't pick it up and hold it in your hand. You can't go and pick up a Bitcoin and go and spend it at the shop. It doesn't work that way. So perhaps recent events will serve as a little bit of a reality check for people. It's just a game, folks. It's just a ride. Perhaps that's why I do what I do as well, because I'm playing the game. I just won't play by their rules. I'll play by the rules of life. But I won't play by the rules that the ruling kakistocracy believes that I should play by. I won't play by their rules. They play by the rules of life. They just assume nobody else will. But there are some of us out there that do choose to play by the rules of life and to view those people who populate the corridors of power in government as just being people, because that's ultimately all they are. And all the fiction that they make up is just fiction. And if they are causing harm against other people, well, they are the ones that are in breach of law anyway. So it's all a matter of perspective and how you look at it. But it's a game, folks. The whole thing is a game, the game of life. It's what you choose to do with it. You know, what you choose to do with the path that you're on, the journey that you're on. A lot of people forget that it's about the journey. They forget that they are even on a journey. You know, a lot of people, when they look at life, it's all about collecting stuff and getting to the top of the food chain, getting to the top of the social ladder, all the stuff the television tells them that they need to do and that they need to be, the way they need to dress, all the things they need to have. But all of that is fiction, folks. All of that is to distract you from the journey of you, the art of being you, the path through life that is there for you to discover. You know, that's what all of this stuff is for. It's all to lead you away from all of that, just to lead you away from being you and ever discovering you. So, again, it's a matter of perspective, and I'm just someone who chooses to play the game of life by my own rules. And a lot of people do that. There's a lot of people through history that have always played life by their own rules, and I think that's really the way to succeed in life, is to play by your own rules. And when I say that, you know, that may be determined by what your perspective of success is, but to me, success is just being happy. Success is being able to enjoy the journey and be able to experience the journey and realize that you're actually on a journey and to actually make the journey rather than just sitting in a place and working in a job that you hate and collecting all this stuff that you don't really need to have this house that you can't take with you when you die. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me to do that stuff, so I don't do it. I do something else. To a lot of people, perhaps my life seems completely meaningless because I don't do those things and I don't collect those things that they think you need to have to be successful. But again, it's just determined by what your perspective of success is. And that isn't what my perspective of success is. But that is why I do what I do, folks, because it is a game, and I could just see that the human race has been brutalized. It's been led into this path of slavery. And it's been in a path of slavery for a long time, but it's been led into this path of complete slavery. And I can't see this and not say something about it. I'd feel guilty. I'd feel like I was part of the problem if I was to see the issue for what it is and to not mention to other people that there's actually a train coming and perhaps they should step off the tracks. And really looking back on it, that is all I've ever really tried to do, is alert people to the fact that there's a train coming and they need to step off. You know, that's what's frustrated me so much about the continual argument that I see on the internet. That's why I've done shows like Conspiracy Misdirection, when I've said to people, look, you can point the finger at anybody you want, the Jesuits or the Jews or the Freemasons or the Vatican or whoever you want. It doesn't really matter. Aliens, whoever you want. It doesn't matter because you can't prove it anyway and you don't really know anyway. And all you've done is lock yourself into a belief system, and now you're arguing with the other people. And this has removed your focus from the control grid. And really, that's where the focus needs to be. And that's why all of these different concepts of who they are have been put out there. You know, all these different concepts of who the controlling hand is, and you can find enough evidence to prove it's anybody you want to prove it is. All the evidence is there for you to do it, because it's all been put there to lead people down these rabbit holes and to convince people that they're right in whichever scenario they want to adopt, and then to go out and argue with the other guys and say, well, this is the way it is, and if we can convince the world to all believe the same thing I believe, then we can heal things. And it doesn't work that way, folks. People won't believe what you believe. They've had access to different information, and belief is the enemy of knowledge. You shouldn't be believing all this stuff anyway, you know. It's a journey of discovery, this path through life. And so much is hidden from us. And in regard to the controlling hand, you know, trying to really identify who it is and say, yes, you've got it 100%, well, you really need to establish freedom before you start making those claims, because there's so much hidden behind the veil and so much that we just don't know, that it becomes just an endless quest that leads nowhere. And what we need to focus on is the problem at hand, which is the lack of freedom, which is the very problem that creates all these rabbit holes to begin with and hides all this information from us to begin with. So if we could deal with that, then we'd be able to answer all the other problems and put all these questions to rest once and for all. You know, and that's been the focus, just trying to empower people into that. That's what I've said so many times, that we need unity in the community. Put common unity back into community. Just have that basic respect for each other. Allow others to think differently so we can all stand up together. I mean, it's a simple thing, but I say it so often because really it is the ultimate answer to all of our problems. And if we can't get that common unity, then we'll never get that common focus. And if we don't get that common focus, then we'll never find a way out. That's why no one can lead you to safety. So there's no movement to join. That's why there's no forms to fill out and nothing we can really do. There's no one to vote in, no one to vote out. It's us changing our perspective of what we are and what our relationship with other people is that will change the world. Now, you get that common unity with the people around you, and like I said earlier, it normalises the politicians. They just become people too, because it's really all just people. That's all it is here. It's just people. It's a social system that we've created whereby we're all supposed to get along with each other, and we're supposed to create societies that are actually going to move us forward and help things and help the human condition, but we've been locked into this system of people farming, where we're just all completely controlled by governments who manufacture all these worldwide catastrophes and crises everywhere so that we believe we need them to look after us. And it's a scam. The whole thing is a scam. What exists behind the veil? Well, we'll find that out once we can wake enough people up to the scam and we can remove the facade that is controlling us, which again is government. People who are all in abusive office, people that we employ to do exactly the opposite of what they're doing, people that have trained us to forget what our standing in the social food chain actually is, which is above government. These people are our employees, folks. We've just forgotten that. And ultimately, beyond all that, these people are just people. And no people have the right to rule and control the lives of other people. No people have the right to cause harm. And all government does is cause harm. And if you really need evidence to support that claim, well, I'd say it so many times, folks, Exhibit A, the Earth, have a look at the place. It's a mess. And it's a mess because of what these people who populate the corridors of power do with all this rubbish they write on paper. And it's our willingness to go along with it and our misplaced belief in authority that ultimately causes all these problems. So that's why we need that common unity. We need that common focus. We need to remember who and what we are before we ever find a way out of this mess. And as soon as we do that, the whole system has to change around us. The whole world has to change by default. You don't need a new system to come online. You don't need anybody to create a game plan to lead you to safety. You need to change your own personal perspective and ripple that out around you, and then the system has to change around you. The system only functions because we tolerate it. The system only functions because we continually abide by rules which cause us to operate outside our moral compass. That is the problem with the system. And as soon as we can step back into our moral compass, then the system has to change. That's why you can't change the system. You can't create a new game plan, because people will still think the same. It doesn't matter what you lead them into. You could create the perfect utopia and lead people into that, but if they haven't changed their heart space, that utopia will end up exactly what we've got now. But if they do change their heart space, they don't need to build any other system. This system has to change around them, because this system only functions because their hearts are pointed in the wrong direction. People have got the wrong focus. People have got the wrong parameters that they're living by. They're basing their lives according to an economic model, according to social standards, according to social parameters that have been ingrained into them via a corrupt and misplaced education system. People aren't viewing their life from a human perspective. And that's the problem. And as soon as they change that perspective, the world has to change around them. That's the way it works. You know, as insurmountable as all the problems we face seem sometimes, that as well is a fiction. It's just an illusion, because really the problems all exist within ourselves. The problems are all due to our lack of focus. They're all due to our loss of self, our loss of belief in ourself, our loss of knowledge of ourself. So that's why the solution is really so simple. In fact, it's so simple that people can't see the forest for the trees. People sincerely believe there must be forms to fill out, there must be a riot to be staged, there must be a revolution to be had. Something must be done, the leaders must be pulled down, and new leaders must be put up there, new rules must be written, a new police force must be structured. All these things must be done, and people seriously believe it. They can't see the reality of themselves is the problem. They can't see the reality that all that exists on this earth is people. The ones who are controlling this are just people. And that's why it's so difficult to find a way out of this mess, because people are not prepared to look within. People want a fix, but they want someone else to apply the fix. They're not prepared to apply the fix to themselves. They want the world to change, but they won't change themselves for the world to change. And that's the problem. And until people do that, there's not going to be any success at all in any movement that anybody starts. People can come along and say, yes, I've got the big game plan, this is going to lead us to safety, but It's not going to work until people empower themselves. You know, little steps that you can find that may empower people into taking some sort of a stand in their local community that gives them the confidence to rediscover the rest of themselves is probably the best step you can take. It's probably the most hopeful step you can take with people. Just something that helps them feel that they can actually make a difference, helps them feel that they actually do have value, because everyone does. But this is something that's been stripped away from people. It's like I've mentioned the way people have lost their parents and they've lost that connection to their parents and they're looking for something they don't even know what it is. It's the same with value. People have lost the value in themselves and they're searching for it in places that it doesn't exist. They're searching for the value in themselves in economic success or personal gain or having a good car or a good house or the right jewelry or the right clothes or whatever. They think that is where the value is. They think that is where they are. It's in the stuff that they have and the stuff that they wear and the stuff that they own. But it's not. It's their knowledge of themselves as a human being. That is where real value lies. The real value of life, the real wealth in life is friendship and those you've helped and the love that you feel from those that you've helped and those that have helped you and the people that have reached out to each other. That's where the true wealth in life is. It's in health and in friendship and relationships. But you don't get that if economics gets in the way. I mean, that gets in the way of a lot of stuff as well. If you've got lots of money sometimes, you don't know who your friends really are because you don't know whether they really want to be around you because you're a nice person or just because you have money. It's very interesting as well. So it's that loss of self that is the real problem, folks. We've lost that personal value. And as soon as we can find and regain that personal value and see that in others as well, then we will change the world because that is the one thing that's missing. In all the plans that we have for everything and all the plans we have to find a way out of this mess and all the dreams that we have of what the future should be, it's really just finding that own personal value that will lead to all of them. Because once we establish that in ourselves and we see it in ourselves and we can see it shining in others, the whole facade falls away and you realize that you don't have to fight this system at all. All you have to do is walk away from it because it only exists because it gets energy from us. As soon as we stop giving it that energy, then the whole system fades away and dies. It can't live without us, and so we simply need to stop holding it up. And what we need to do is hold up ourselves and help hold up those around us while they find their legs as well. You know, we can do this, folks, and it's important time, so pay attention. You know, there's all this stuff going on, but ultimately it's just a game, and it depends on how you play it. But the game of life only has one real set of rules, folks, and that's do the right thing. So now's the time to do it, folks. Let's all step up to the plate and do the right thing, and let's change the world. Well, folks, we have almost reached the end of the show again. And tomorrow I'm going to be speaking at a summit. It's a 5G Action Summit. You'll find a link to that on my Facebook page and on Steemit. I do suggest you get along to that. It's a call to action. I'm going to be sharing a panel with Cal Washington from the InPower movement and a few other people. I'm going to be discussing ways we can move this forward and people can start getting involved on the ground in their own communities and start taking action against this 5G rollout. And that is going to be tomorrow night. And again, you'll find links to that on my Facebook pages and on my Steemit page as well. Apart from that, I'm going to be speaking at AV9. In May, around about May 4th to May 7th, I think. That's going to be at Horwood House in the Midlands in the UK. You'll find links to that if you just Google Ian R. Crane AV9. You'll find links to that, I'm sure. I'll get a banner up on the website as soon as I'm able to do it. I will keep you posted as to any Cambo workshops I'm going to be holding, which may possibly be in April in Holland. If not, then there will be some workshops that probably get held in LA in late May. Also in LA, I'll be speaking at Regeneration in late May, and I'll be speaking at a chemtrail conference in Virginia, I believe, on May 26th. And I'll get banners up for that as well as soon as I'm able. Unfortunately, as I mentioned last week, the conference that I was supposed to speak at last week in Ireland was cancelled due to weather. Most of England and Ireland and Scotland were under blankets of snow for many days, so I hope all the people in those areas fared well through that, and it's a shame that I couldn't get over to the conference to speak, but that conference has been rescheduled for November, and those people who've bought tickets will be able to, I believe, have those tickets honoured at the November conference, but whatever the plan is, the open mind people will keep you posted as to that. But that is it for me, folks. I've reached the end of the show. Thank you to all those who continue to support the website. Thank you to all my Patreon supporters. You are truly a godsend, and you are the only thing that keeps this show in the air. So I cannot thank you enough for that. And thank you to all the listeners, and thank you to all those people who send me so many kind emails. I've got a huge backlog of emails to get through, folks, so please bear with me in the email department. And I'll get back to you as soon as I'm able. But I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week, folks. Please take very good care until then. In La Cache.